Welcome back to your extended news at noon. I'm Tracy Morgan. I wanted to air something in an interview that I did last week on another program that I host. And this is with Family Pathways. This is with Brian Dick. He joins me on Let's Talk quite a few times throughout the year. And we were talking about COVID exhaustion. And I wanted to play that here today because I thought it was a very good conversation and just hitting the nail on the head right now with just how a lot of us feel. We're just exhausted from this. So this is our conversation as we pick it up. And I was asking Brian how important it was to talk about the exhaustion from COVID.
There wasn't anything more important, I think, today than to discuss the exhaustion piece, because all that we see is the numbers and the bad news and the things that are changing and how certain is something closed, is it open? And I think people may not really realize that how exhausted they may be getting because of it. Some may be more aware of it, others may not be.
And I don't think I'm out of line when I say there are so many people who hear us talking about COVID-19 and they think I'm tired of hearing it. But again, we don't really have a choice, in my opinion. I don't think we have a choice because it's not over yet.
This ongoing pandemic has altered our structures. It's altered our interaction patterns, exhaustion. And I could have called it fatigue, but I didn't want to confuse it with the actual fatigue symptom of COVID-19, which is one of the prominent symptoms. But there is just a set of patterns that have developed over 7-8 months now, where people are very tired, they've been cooped up, they're very hypervigilant about everything that's going on, very short-tempered, they're tired of altering structures, they've had to make constant changes or sometimes very unpredictable changes, and adjustments and accommodations where something that maybe required one step in their work or in their social life or something else is now requiring multiple steps. It's almost double the work than it used to be. And, of course, the lack of social contact, which is the real obvious one, real interaction, being on Zoom or one of the video conferencing apps all the time. These are things that can cause exhaustion when we least are aware of it. And just, I think we may not be aware of how this is causing changes in our motivation, and we may be slowly becoming depressed or just constantly anxious because, you know, really people are under intense stress and also chronic stress, and those are two different types of stress, and they are really accumulating for people, and sometimes we're not aware of it, and it comes out in very maybe adverse ways for individuals.
And I just want to mention that the school aspect of this, I've said many times on this program, I have two kids that are still in school. And so I am a parent who deals with this in the way of working and everything that you're talking about. And then you have school modifications. And it's nothing against the schools. They're trying their best in trying to get through this as well. But as you're talking, I'm imagining me being at home and instead of one step for my kids to go to school, it feels like 10 other steps that we have to think of.
Sure. And I think the thing that induces the intense stress or the chronic stress for even parents is that those structures or those things that we may predict could occur on Sunday may change. I mean, of course, the school districts have been very good at informing parents, but you can go one day on Friday and then something else has changed before that day. And parents are being required to make substantial adjustments in their work patterns or how they provide coverage for their students. I mean, fortunately in Butler County or Butler School District, the elementary and middle schools are still seeing in person. But just within the last 2 weeks, the high school and intermediate changed to remote. And I think that there's always that anticipation that something's going to change. And I think that brings on a chronic gnawing stress on people.
And can you talk about those things in our lives that typically would bring us joy at a drop of a hat? You know, whether it be a song, whether it be a movie, whether it just be talking with a person at a coffee shop. There's so many things that can bring somebody joy. And now it just seems to be a struggle just to even get to that point sometimes.
Well, I think a lot of the things, the routines and structures, particularly that people have been accustomed to. I mean, I think one example is just the sports season. I have kids that are in sports, And that was kind of an up and down type situation from like September or August on. We never really knew what was going to happen. And I think that's an example of what people tend to really devote their lives to. I mean, professional sports have been the same thing. Different things that people enjoy, outdoor activities, events that are typical, parades, those kinds of things that, and these are just very basic examples of this area of things that we might do, are not happening and haven't been happening for a long time. And so then that kind of forces people to have to consider, what am I doing? And then a lot of times people's work environments are remote. They're having to adjust how they work. They're having to balance having a private space at home, working with their kids in school. It's just a lot of extra things that we haven't built the mental muscles in our brains, I think, to deal with right away. Some people may be more resilient than others and are handling it. They may have more supports than others and are handling it. So, after a while, when you are, the surf is pounding you, so to speak, with all of these changes, it is sometimes human beings' tendencies to shut down and or to become somewhat numb to all those changes, and that's when we start seeing the fatigue and the exhaustion occurring with respect to COVID-19.
So when should we worry about this becoming worse than we are? I guess anticipating that it may be coming. This is my question. Okay, so I went to my PCP regular checkup, and they ask those mental health questions in the beginning. And the one question is along the lines of, do you feel depressed or do you feel hopeless, along those lines. And I told the nurse that was asking me those questions, I said, I realize why you're asking and there's no concern, but boy, that's a loaded question, isn't it? We both, in a sense, chuckled about it because we thought, yes, I mean, it feels like there are certain days where you just feel down and hopeless and you're full of anxiety, but it's not that I have depression, so where do you draw that line?
Well, I think you're probably talking more about, chronic stress and anxiety. I've kind of done a lot of thinking about this, and in a sense, the society, or I'm just going to say our region, our area, maybe the country too, but at least I think speaking for this area, people have had to undergo so much chronic stress and change and anxiety. And then, in addition to being inundated with whatever inputs are occurring on a daily basis through media, changes and things in their lives, and just the realization, maybe even isolation, is you're hard-pressed not to answer yes on the depression screening scale. But I think, what we're dealing with here is anxiety and probably an underlying traumatic reaction to changes, because our brain produces certain stress chemicals. Those stress chemicals get activated, so to speak, every time something is kind of threatening or potentially threatening or changing or is stressful. And I think what's happening is people's brains, kind of just for the layperson, our brains are overreacting to a number of inputs that are changing, that are stressful, that are different, that are causing isolation. And again, it may not be pure depression, but it could be developing into kind of a learned helplessness, or what I would say is we just don't feel motivated to do things, or we're changing. We're just kind of resorting to creature comforts as a way of kind of filling that void to some degree.
And I can identify with that too, because this was the year that I thought, do we really want to go get pumpkins? Do we really want to go get the Christmas tree? Do we really? And I wonder, again, when do you slip into a very a dangerous place?
Well, and I think that's where the isolation starts sitting in, or setting in, rather. I mean, and that's where, and it's hard, I think, for people, because you're on such a treadmill, so to speak, with these changes. You're having to respond to all of these COVID-related restrictions or changes. You watch the news and say, oh, now I have to change this, or now I have to be thinking about this. or then you think, well, I can't really go. Should I really go to MedExpress? Because, you know, there's probably a lot of people there. Now, I'm not picking on MedExpress, but should I go to the doctor or to a healthcare setting, or should I go to the emergency department because I might come in contact with somebody? So there's just these constant things that are altering people's sense of security, I would say. You know, and when people don't have the security, you know, people have been traumatized or under an extreme amount of stress or anxiety or change for a prolonged period of time will develop symptoms of hypervigilance, and also they won't feel as secure. People that feel secure naturally, where there's predictability, are going to be able to adapt better and move forward and cope and not have some of these symptoms. So it's, you know, there's some biological pieces to this that's causing our brains to act this way. But I think really our society is kind of being, you know, traumatized to some degree by this pandemic. It's nobody's fault, but it's just, you know, what we're talking about today is how do we get ourselves out of that?
And I want to ask you how we maintain our resilience in that, but I have one more question when we're talking about this element or this portion of COVID-19, our emotional exhaustion. I have a note in front of me that you say in many cases I've personally seen people dropping precautions and increasing risk. Can you address that for us?
Yes, and I don't want to sound judgmental, but, you know, when you're out and about and you're going different places, you're going into certain, you know, retail settings or stores or public locations, there are some people who are just simply not, I think they've kind of resigned and said, I'm not going to use the mask. I don't really care about the social distancing. They're going to carry on their lives the way they did. And maybe that's the way they're coping. Or they have different beliefs about, you know, what the risk factors are in contracting COVID-19. And, you know, that's just where they're at, and that may be just how they're handling it.
Brian Dick with Family Pathways. Brian, I know you focus on the family aspect of this, and COVID-19 can affect emotionally the entire family. Let me get your phone number now for Family Pathways. We'll continue with our discussion, and then we'll get your information again for your contact. But what's your contact number that you would like us to call?
Yeah, our main contact number is 724-284-9440. That's just one line, no extensions. And if you're interested in services or seeking out services, the person's the receptionist desk will direct you where you need to go.
So, Brian, I want to ask you how we maintain our resilience during COVID-19 so we can prevent the emotional exhaustion. But the first element of this is for you to explain to us what that looks like.
Right. I think in the last several years, at least since I've been doing the trauma work here at Family Pathways, we've talked a lot about resilience. That's become a much more popular word lately. Everybody kind of knows what PTSD is or anxiety or depression, but we really don't know what resilience sometimes is, and it's that internal ability to maintain healthy functioning despite adverse situations, consequences, experiences. It's your ability to kind of pull yourself up and start over again, or to use your internal resources, emotional, mental, physical, or social, to develop more adaptive or positive functioning. Self-care is kind of a close cousin. It's a component of that. It is about exhibiting specific behaviors related to helping yourself cope or become more resilient. So it's the, you know, the building block, so to speak, of building resilience. And, you know, coping is kind of a popular word. Everybody knows what coping is, I think. It's, you know, how do you handle things? How do you get through things? Well, self-care are specific behaviors, and, you know, that can range from, am I taking care of my body? Am I eating right? Am I exercising? Am I learning ways of reducing stress and anxiety in my life? Do I have caring or supportive relationships in my life, family or otherwise? Am I, you know, engaged in positive or productive pursuits in my life that builds internal strength? So those are self-care examples.
So then let's talk about how we deal with this. If we know we're exhausted because of COVID-19 emotionally, how do we deal with that?
Well, I mean, the interesting thing I want to talk about, just mention here, is that, you know, if you go on a CDC website, it's vast. There's tons of information that they do provide regarding COVID stress management, but unfortunately, it's not really clear. It's, you know, it's a government site, so you have to kind of wade through all the stuff. And, you know, interestingly, you don't really hear a lot about how do we deal with COVID-19, you know, mental or emotional exhaustion. How do we deal with stress? There's some lip service that goes, you know, on the news media, but it's all about the illness. It's all about, you know, the risk factors of contracting or how many people are contracting. There's not as much talk about the exhaustion, but interestingly, if you go further and you look at a lot of the academic sites, a lot of the universities that have prominent health establishments, you're starting to see a lot of the information and recognition of the problem. But I have here about 10 things. I don't know if you want me to go through those or just start going through those, or if you had specific questions.
Well, why don't you go ahead and start going through those? As you know me, if I have a question, I'll butt in there. But why don't you go ahead and start the list?
Okay. Well, you know, I think the obvious one is limiting media access. I think I mentioned that before. It's not that you don't want to be informed about the world or about the election or any of these other important things. But really, the more you spend on social media and or some of the news media, you can really walk away feeling very negative and gloomy. And even if you like to visit websites that have news and blogs and things of that nature, there's a lot of information out there that may actually be exposing you to more negativity than giving you information. So limiting that's very important. I think something that a lot of us probably may not do as much, but we should do, is embracing and thinking about what we really have in our lives. Sometimes we're so concerned about the negative aspects of COVID-19 and how it's impacted us that we're not really looking around saying, you know what, I've got this, I've got this, I've got my family, I've got a job, I've got some resources. Now, not everybody may have that, but there's always something that we may have that's right in front of us that we're not showing enough thankfulness or gratitude for. Finding safe ways to reach out to others is important, to connect and talk and express your feelings. You know, I think that's what we did socially before when we were around a lot of people. Now that we're distancing, and I hear the CDC saying this all the time, must social distance. Well, that doesn't really help people who need that social contact. It doesn't really talk much about it, but finding safe ways to do that's extremely important.
Brian, I'm going to interrupt you here because I do have a question about this one. How do we find a safe place? And I would assume one place would be Family Pathways to be able to express what we're feeling. And I ask it because it feels like in today's society, if you have an opinion that differs from somebody else, you need to be ready for just somebody laying into you because you have that opinion. It doesn't feel like you have a safe place to be able to say, this is how I feel, just to be able to be heard.
Well, and that's a really good question because, yeah, obviously it would be a safe place to come to a counseling center, whether it's ours or somebody else's. I know a lot of providers are shifting back to more televideo, telehealth again. I know we are to some degree. We're doing more of a hybrid type model. We're kind of identifying basic populations that are more amenable to telehealth, but we're still seeing people in person, and we would continue to do so as long as we can. But I think for people that are not in counseling, and some people may not actually have really decent relationships at home. They may have very, very difficult support systems or limited ones. And so there are, you know, options. I mean, reaching out to organizations like us or to churches and to other social organizations that are still operating are very important for people if they don't have that support system. But I think you know, finding places, you know, if you can go out to a restaurant where there's limited capacity, meet with your friend, use your social, use the precautions, you know, as much as possible. Know who you can hang around with, and know that they're okay, and take precautions. You can still have social contact. You just need to take precautions.
Brian, I know you're going to get into kindness and compassion and finding ways to express that. Do you feel that it's important to be able to process and talk through what you're feeling first in order to find the trueness behind your kindness and compassion? Because I feel like some people will try to be kind as a cover-up for their feelings that are underneath.
Well, certainly. I mean, there's a lot of people walking around that are trying to really cope with the situation. And I think, you know, just asking somebody, just based on my experience of working with people, just going up to them and say, okay, why don't you share your feelings? You'll feel better, isn't always the entry point to go with people. And I think if you have, it's one thing if you have a close friendship and that just happens naturally and the two people or three people know each other so well and can understand each other and there's a lot of empathy. But if you're talking to somebody for the first time or you're trying to support somebody in a helping role, I think sometimes just allowing them time to vent or to decrease that anxiety or help them relax. Most of the clients I work with, I like to go through some kind of relaxation routine with them if it appears that that needs to happen. Sometimes that they need that just to kind of get themselves grounded again.
Brian Dick with Family Pathways. I know you said you had about 10 points to mention there. We only have about 5 minutes, so I'll let you continue on that list.
All right. I'm just going to pick a couple here. Self-care, we discussed that. I mean, mainly just creating new routines and practicing healthy ones. I think showing some kindness and compassion can do wonders for people, finding ways to help people, you know, through the day. Practicing the relaxation skills I just mentioned, or finding, you know, there's so many apps and things out there that can help you learn how to relax or learn relaxation skills. The thing that I have here at the end I'm just going to mention is reframing. And this doesn't get talked about much, but I think it's very important. Obviously, we have to accept where we're at, but we also have to remind ourselves that there has been progress over the last 7 to 8 months. We're not in the same place we were in March. You know, you can hear what the media says, but we are not in that same place. We have less restrictions than we did before. Things are not perfect, but we are understanding the illness, and we will eventually get through this. This is just a moment in time, basically. I think that's the three words I would leave the listeners with, that you need to kind of remind yourself that this is a moment in time and that we will continue to make progress and to really kind of keep an eye out for progress on a week-to-week basis. And obviously, you know, the announcement yesterday that there is a vaccine that's pending that could bring 90% protection or would affect the population in a positive way, at least 90%, that's a good start. That's at least good news in the right direction.
And I want to mention one, because we do have time, that you have on your list that you say, you know, go into your workday. I'll just say go into your day with some kind of target that you want to accomplish, because you're making a list of things that you could do, but when you don't feel like doing them, then your to-do list kind of goes off to the wayside. And they could be what seems very trivial, but even just picking up your leaves in your yard today may be an accomplishment for you today. So isn't goal setting important each day?
Getting closure, key word, closure. You know, if you start something, try to finish it. If you have a barrier, get some help and work through it. I think it's so easy to go to the couch and watch cable TV or get on your tablet or your phone. And I think we all do it to some degree, but I think you'll feel a lot better if you've accomplished something, and it'll do wonders for your motivation.
Brian Dick with Family Pathways, just in our final minute or two, of course, I want to get your contact information again for Family Pathways in case people would like to reach out. And then, of course, as I always do with you, Brian, what's your final thought for the day?
Well, I think the final thought is that, you know, remember that this is only something that we're in right now. It doesn't mean that we're going to be in it forever, and that, you know, to please take all these steps and put some of these into play, seek out some connection with other people as much as you can, and we'll eventually get through this. It's not, you know, there may be a time when I come back on the show and we're not talking about COVID, which will be nice, but we will eventually get through it. It's a moment in time.
Contact information, Brian.
724-284-9440.
Brian Dick with Family Pathways, always a pleasure to talk to you, always full of information, and I thank you and your staff for what you do at Family Pathways.
Thanks, Tracy, for having me.